Malhotra, as protests rage across India against what Pakistani Foreign Minister Bilawal Bhutto said about Prime Minister Modi, it's time Indians living abroad also join in to teach Pakistan some key lessons. It's time Pakistan learned from India rather than bad-mouthing what the world calls a visionary leader. We're appealing to Indian diaspora and all the Indians. Flood Bilawal's inbox online and offline. Write letters to him. Let's call out Pakistan for what it pathologically is, a terrorist state. Question Pakistan's inaction on terror, human rights abuses in POK, inaction on wanted terrorists. Does Bilawal have the answers to these questions posed by Indians all over the world? To discuss this, we are joined by a special panel of Indians from around the world. Let me welcome them. First up, Professor Kishan Devani, UK politician and businessman, joins us all the way from London. Mr. Kuldeep Singh Shekhawat, president of Overseas Front of the BJP in United Kingdom. He's joining us live. Dr. Ravi Godse, international affairs expert, is also here with us. He's joining us from the United States. And last but by no means the least, Deepak Kavadia, international affairs expert, joining us from the USA as well. Thank you everyone for being a part of this important discussion. In fact, Mr. Shekhawat, I'd like to come to you first, if you can hear me. Mr. Shekhawat?
Fine.
Mr. Shekhawat, you know, we Indians have been trying to be very politically as well as diplomatically correct with Pakistan. We have tried to use the right forums, the UN especially, to call out Pakistan, and we have not hit below the belt even when we have had every reason to do so. You're familiar with the kind of things that Bilawal Bhutto has said, but the world is still not aware of what Pakistan really is. You know, in India, the reality of Pakistan is deeply heightened, but the world needs to know that. And that the way that's possible is by the Indian diaspora, you know, coming to terms with the fact that they are needed at this point in time in calling out Pakistan. Mr. Shekhawat, if you can hear me, sir.
Yeah, I was muted anyway. Yeah, back. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead, sir. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Vineet. What I'd like to say first is, I think Bilawal Bhutto was trying to appease the Muslim clerics in Pakistan. He was trying to give them an idea that, oh, he can also speak. What he has done is something unbelievable, what he has spoken about Butcher of Gujarat, and then before that he spoke about Hindutva in UN Assembly. What I'm trying to say is, what Pakistan is going to achieve out of it? By saying these kind of, come out with these kind of unbelievable statements in the world and trying to appease his own Muslim clerics to say that, oh, he is speaking up for the Muslim community, what they have done for Hindus in Pakistan. 1.3 million Hindus has been displaced in last 2 years, I must say. And a lot of them are really, really saddened at the situation in Pakistan with all minorities, including Christians and Sikhs. So who he is trying to teach? What he is trying to gain out of it? And on top of it, he is saying that Butcher of Gujarat lives. What does he mean? He is a democratically elected Prime Minister of India for the last 8 years. Before that, for 3 terms, he was Chief Minister of Gujarat. Well, the people of Gujarat chose him then. He was not elected just like that. And he didn't come in power through backdoor like he did. So overall, the situation is very, very simple. He is trying to appease his local clerics, Muslim clerics, saying that, oh, we can talk about India because India has been very, very strong these days. India has been talking about taking over Kashmir. So all these statements put together doesn't mean anything in real terms. It only infuriates people like us who say, hang on a minute, what kind of idea is this? Butcher of Gujarat? Can you use this kind of language internationally? And in what sense? 250 odd people, Hindus, were also killed then in Gujarat. So who killed them? Why Prime Minister Modi is being blamed for something which he didn't do? He was not even involved. He tried his best to control the law and order situation in Gujarat then. But, you know, some people have that kind of mindset. This is very derogatory. We condemn it. And I must say, Bilal Bhutto has lost the plot completely. Thank you.
Mm. Professor Kishan, if you can hear me. Professor Kishan?
Sorry, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, all right. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've seen, a spate of violence in the UK as well of late, in which Indians and Pakistanis did clash. You know, there was a lot made out of it in terms of who had done what. And predominantly that coverage, Professor Kishan, was lopsided against India. You know, there is an information or a misinformation warfare that is being promulgated and galvanized and pushed and funded by Pakistan and the Sino-Wahhabi lobby. We need to counter that. How do you think the Indian diaspora is going to be helpful?
Well, firstly, I'd like to come back to the point that Mr. Shekhawat made a moment ago, actually, because I think that fundamentally it's conversations like this that have fueled tensions both in my country, the United Kingdom, and also across the globe between the two nations. It's, you know, this was a completely unnecessary comment and speech made by the foreign minister of Pakistan. Pakistan really needs to be looking inwards. It needs to look at its domestic issues. It has many domestic issues, whether it be floods or whether it be the economic state of affairs within their own borders. Why seek a international stage to raise an issue that primarily actually has got nothing to do with that stage whatsoever? And actually, India has so showed such self-restraint in its in its behavior with Pakistan for many years, despite having evidence, despite having various sort of outlooks and knowledge, yet it still hasn't been aggressive in this nature. Actually, it's not befitting of a foreign minister to behave in such a manner. I was very surprised, having known that Bilawal himself has been educated in the West, should have learnt some diplomacy from coming and being educated in some fine institutions in Europe. But actually, it's very, very degrading of his behavior. And I think India is correct in its approach of calling this out. And actually, you know, as a diaspora globally, we should look to actually raise this on a global platform, because, you know, it is fundamentally inconsistent in terms of global diplomacy. It is not how one behaves, and the Indian foreign minister behaved in a very appropriate manner, in a very manner befitting of an external affairs minister. But it's a shame that your neighbours are not behaving in such a manner. So I think, you know, the diaspora, Indian diaspora across the globe, needs to be mindful of these types of conversations. It's demeaning of the office of a foreign minister. It shouldn't be happening, and actually it fuels tensions unnecessarily, you know, unnecessarily, where you have great community relations, but it's comments like this that fuels unnecessary tensions between friends also. And it's very sad to see, and I hope that it doesn't happen again, but it will not surprise me if a Pakistani foreign minister does it again going forward.
Absolutely. Well articulated, Professor Kishan. And Dr. Godse, if you can hear me. Dr. Godse?
Yeah, I can
hear you. Well, taking a leaf out of what Professor Kishan said, that, you know, we've always had the smoking gun when it comes to, you know, proving what Pakistan has been doing to us and to the rest of the world. You know, but we haven't crossed that Lakshman Rekha. We haven't crossed that thick red line of diplomacy and decency. Pakistan continues to do that. It's become very frequent and sporadic in nature. What do you think can be done about it? Do we need to up the ante in calling out Pakistan? And how can the Indian diaspora join in this particular movement?
I have a very unusual idea. You mentioned Lakshman Rekha, you know. So we are Lakshman, the arrow is in our hand. We decide where to draw the line. I think the best thing to do, and this is a little unusual what I'm saying, there was a British politician and he said something crazy. And he was castigated by the press, and he was not happy about it. And he said, there are five newspapers, and four of them really killed me by negative comments. The fifth one, I really hate. So they asked him, what did the fifth newspaper said? He said, they ignored me. They didn't print anything about me. So, you know, at times, public figures and politicians like Bilawal, they prefer notoriety to anonymity. I talked to a couple of my Pakistan friends. Two of them didn't even know who Pakistan's foreign minister was. I think we are elevating him by continuing to talk about it. We should completely ignore it. And if we tell Pakistan, they like to remove him as a foreign minister. If you remember India in late 80s, where Telugu Desam had about 13 times more seats than BJP because it was a strong regional party winning a lot of regional seats. If you look at Bilawal's party, they're such a strong local regional party that they're third largest party in Pakistan. So if they remove him as a foreign minister, the government will fall. So it is not, and as you correctly pointed out very smartly, that when you look at the coverage is very lopsided. If I talk to my American friends about this, they start Googling the Gujarat riots. And obviously, means the position is clear from in our own mind. But if you start Googling it in American press, the hits that you get, some of them are completely lopsided. So the conversation need not be about Gujarat riots. The conversation needs to be about Bin Laden. And not about, and interestingly, he said that Bin Laden is dead. Well, not thanks to Pakistan. United States chose to ignore Pakistan's sovereignty, went in and took care of Bin Laden. So Bin Laden was alive because of Pakistan. He's dead because of United States. And, you know, I'll say one more thing quickly. You know, he's currently the chairman of the third largest party in Pakistan. He became chairman where nobody would have sold him a pack of cigarettes. He was only 19 years old because he was Benazir Bhutto's son. Now, we might elevate, he doesn't have support from the ultra right of the radicals. So more India criticizes him, he might get that support. If at all we want to show him down, we need to do it artfully. He has taken out strong positions about women in Pakistan and their right. So we can do it artfully, say that, oh, we support his position on women, but what he said was completely wrong. So we make sure while we are criticizing him, we do not elevate him and we have to face him as the Prime Minister of Pakistan, God forbid. You know.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the point that you, in fact, mentioned at the start of your response is actually what he's trying to do. Notoriety is what perhaps he's trying to gain. Deepak, if you can hear me. Deepak Kavadia?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You know, what works in Pakistan is basically, you know, you don't have to have good credentials. You don't have to have a good educational background. All you perhaps need are three things. Number one is a bit of money. Number two is, you know, the army backing you. And number three, you need to badmouth India. That is the only way you can go further in Pakistan. And, you know, taking a leaf out of what Dr. Godse said, you know, Ghalib also said, badnaam honge, to kya naam na hoga. That is the exact philosophy that Mr. Bilawal Bhutto is also going for.
Yeah, you're right, basically. First of all, this is such a shameful comment on an international platform from a foreign minister with holding such a political office, wherever it is, India, Pakistan, or anywhere. I mean, he's in Pakistan or any other Muslim country or anybody, but none of them have ever used such a shameful comment and such a shameful language, especially on an international platform. So first of all, this is really very bad. And I think India should show some opposition, let these guys know that at least on international platform, such a language should not be spoken any single time. You should maintain the dignity of your positions, of your political platforms, and you should know what you're talking about. First of all, who is Bilawal Bhutto and who is the one who has to make comments on the Prime Minister of India, where Modi is the most popular leader in the world today? Modi has been known all over the world by not only Indian diaspora, but the entire world. Today, living in America, we know that Modi has been an image, has lifted Indian diaspora to such a high stature here. When Modi comes here, 40,000 people come rally at the United States, any part of the time, whether it is Howard Modi or it is in New York. Wherever these guys come to, nobody will bother about them. Who is Bilawal Bhutto? Who is Pakistan Prime Minister? Who is Pakistan today? They have lost their identity, they have lost their name, they have lost their values because of such comments that they make on international platforms and across the world. And people understand that who is the butcher today? The butcher is Pakistan, who is killing and supporting terrorism across the world.
Right, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And Akshat Jagan Mohan, current affairs commentator, also joins us on the show. Akshat, if you're there with us.
Yes, hi.
Akshat, if you compare, you know, what Pakistan was when we gained independence, you know, 10% of the population of Pakistan was minorities. Now, that same minority has been reduced to less than 10,000 people in a country of millions. Secondly, you know, not no personal aspersions on Bilawal, but he's only 34 years of age and he's the foreign minister of Pakistan. You know, that in itself goes and shows you that, you know, the lack of depth, the lack of choice is absolutely missing in Pakistan. If you cannot respect a leader like Prime Minister Modi, despite the differences that we have with Pakistan, then you really do not understand the game that you're in.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Bilawal Bhutto Zardari is, you know, I've never considered age to be necessarily a factor when somebody comes into power. You know, if you have the right credentials, if you have the capability, that's fine. But I think Bilawal does lack in maturity, and that can be seen quite clearly. And let's be honest, if he did not belong to the Bhutto Zardari clan, he wouldn't be the foreign minister of Pakistan. Having said that, I think many people in Pakistan also struggle to understand the judicial system in India. I don't think they quite understand how robust the judicial procedures are. In fact, I was at an airport recently, and I was got talking with a Pakistani gentleman, and he said in Pakistan, you know, a good lawyer knows the law, a great lawyer knows the judge. That's how the entire country works. So it's going to be quite hard to expect Pakistanis as a class to understand our judicial system. However, it's also important that, you know, 2002 is, you know, it's a long time, 20 years. A lot has happened in that period. You know, all sorts of petitions have been filed. Special investigation team was appointed, I think, in 2012. It was it gave a clean sheet to Prime Minister Modi. In fact, I think what it actually said was there was no prosecutable evidence against him. Despite that, there were appeals that were made in local courts. They went to the Gujarat High Court. They went to the Supreme Court. And in June 2022, even the Supreme Court, you know, upheld the clean sheet that was given to Prime Minister Modi. Now, this is something which Indian media needs to play continuously because people's memories are short. Nobody's going to remember what's happened over the course of the last 20 years. So it's important not just for us to play it to Indian audience, but also to educate, you know, international journalists about what's actually gone on, that a due process was followed. Now, with regards to, you know, Bhutto calling, you know, Modi the butcher of Gujarat, etc. Yes, the Pakistanis, of course, have their agenda. They are going to, you know, take advantage of these types of narratives that have existed in the media space. But what about the opposition politicians? I think long before the Pakistanis got into this type of narrative, it was Indian politicians who were in the opposition who were spreading, you know, this type of, you know, sort of malicious propaganda. Sonia Gandhi, in fact, went as far
as, you know, it's Akshat, it's not my worry as to what he's called. Akshat, it's not my worry as to what he's called, the Prime Minister. Reena Sundar, if you're there with us. Reena Sundar is joining us from Oslo. Reena?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. Reena, it's not my worry what he's called the Prime Minister. It's obviously untrue. The problem is how the Western media has become, you know, pathologically biased towards an interpretation which is not true in this part of the world.
First of all, I would say that there's so many interesting comments that have been made today. And I just want to like to follow up with Akshat, because as you were asking me, what can the diaspora do? And I believe in facts and I believe in numbers. And as Akshat just pointed out, that there was an investigation done. And that investigation was not done by BJP. It was Congress that was in power at that time in a few years back. But I mean, if you look at the numbers, let's look at Gujarat, because he's calling our Prime Minister the Bachchar of Gujarat. Look at the elections in Gujarat. There are 19 districts with a majority of Muslim population in Gujarat. And if we look at the numbers in the previous elections, we will see that in 2012, Modi won 12 of the districts. Hmm. In 2017, Modi won 13 districts. And in 2022, he won 17 districts in Gujarat. And Gujarat is also the part where we find Muslims who have the highest literacy rate. The literacy rate of Muslims in Gujarat is 7% higher than the average of literacy rate in other of the other Indian Muslims. And also, if you look at the per capita income of the Muslims in Gujarat since he's attacking Modi, the Bachchar of Gujarat,
you
would see that it's 7%, it's 10% higher than Muslims across India. So I think the foreign minister of Pakistan has challenges coping with the fact that we are now seeing a stronger India on a global scale. We are seeing a self-reliant India, and India is a country that now is seen as a major player. If we look 25 years back, India and Pakistan were normally seen on equal terms. Nobody does that today. Everybody look at India and Indians today with another view. We have another gentleman here from London a few months back. Even the UK got a prime minister of Indian origin. We have so many talented Indians who are...
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Tarina. And Professor Kishan, you know, you are in the UK, but, you know, it is a fact that we have overtaken your economy, the UK economy in the last few months. And India is slated to become the third largest economy in about a decade from now. But the worry here is this information, or rather this misinformation, not being stopped. The worry is that, you know, the inclusivity with which certain other countries are looked upon by the West, India does not get to enjoy that prerogative. How do we change that?
Well, this brings it back to what I was saying earlier on, Vinit, that actually the reality is that Mr. Bhutto's comments have been, Mr. Zardari's comments have been very, very, they're very, very haste, and his approach has been very amateur, actually. Because, you know, fundamentally, if you look at even just the elections that went by recently in Gujarat, my ancestral home is Gujarat. My grandparents left Gujarat in 1888 and they went to East Africa. My wife is Gujarat born. My in-laws are residing in Gujarat. I visit Gujarat every single year. And I make a point to go and actually speak to people from various different communities that happen to be friends or family friends, etc. And what Reena just said a moment ago about the status of Muslims in Gujarat as of today, it's incredible. I mean, they are flourishing as business owners. They're doing so well. It's just, you know, to make comments like that, sweeping comments without having any factual knowledge to the fact that actually the BJP won the largest majority ever in Gujarat just a week or so ago. So actually it's bonkers, to be quite frank with you. And it shows you the hypocrisy. And I'll outline the hypocrisy by asking a simple question to the administration in Pakistan. How many Hindu players have played for the Pakistani national cricket team? Or how many Christians, for that matter, have played for the Pakistani national cricket team? Look at India. You keep talking about a secular nation. You keep talking about India not being secular anymore. Actually, for me, that also is quite bonkers. You know, Abdul Kalam was the president of India. You know, the facts matter, as what Reena said. The reality is this: why is it that the Hindu population in Pakistan has diminished? In fact, it's gone to the point where it's non-existent. I belong to the Swaminarayan community in the UK, and we have a Swaminarayan temple in Karachi. Look at the state of that temple now. It's on its knees. People are not even allowed to worship there. It is absolute hypocrisy that what the Pakistani government are spouting, and actually what Mr. Bhutto is spouting actually, and Mr. Zarani is spouting, is not actually his own views in many ways. They're views of a mass, they're views of an establishment, they're views of an institution that doesn't just spread to the government, but I'm sure it spreads as far as the army as well, which is a huge shame. I was watching the YouTuber recently on one of the social media outlets, and they were taking interviews of young Pakistani children, 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old. Vinit, if I find you the link, I'll send it to you. It is appalling. They are talking about hate. They're filling their children with hate for India, and it's such a shame, because I really, and I hope and pray, and I know for a fact it's not happening in India. You don't see YouTubers going out there trying to ask, you know, children on their views on Pakistan. I think India is about building an economy, a strong economy, an outward-looking, tolerant, liberal nation. But actually, Pakistan is retracting from that and going, you know, back 100 years. It's such a shame. And I often wonder who is really governing Pakistan. Is it people like Mr. Zardari, or is it imams? Is it clerics that have an agenda? And it's a huge shame, because what we want to see, in having being lecturer on geopolitics internationally, what you want to see is a strong Indian subcontinent. You want to see a strong Indian subcontinent to build economic ties. It's a huge shame for people like us who live in the UK as part of the diaspora, who have friends in both diasporas, to see this type of dialogue. It demeans Absolutely. The public office, and it demeans all of us.
Absolutely. We've run out of time, but we have assimilated some good feedback, some good comments. And also, not let us not forget that Pakistan is also being controlled to a large extent by the interests of China. The CPEC, its hegemony in the world being challenged by India. So, of course, Pakistan is a B-team of China. That is a narrative that cannot be excluded from the kind of commentary that is emanating out of Pakistani politicians. Would like to thank all my guests for being a part of this conversation. They joined us from all over the world. Really appreciate you taking out the time in different time zones and speaking with NewsX.